This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bear,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome to another edition of Windy City Sports Talk. Hey, guess what? Baseball is back this week. The Cubs will start their altered 2020 season on Friday against the Brewers. So on this episode today, I will be focusing on this unique season that the Cubs are going to go through, what to expect from them this year. And I want to touch on a couple of points on their roster in terms of what they're going to do with Bryant and Baez. They need new contracts. Anthony Rizzo's contract is going to be expiring soon on the horizon, so there's a lot to be discussed about not only this season, but what's going to happen even after this season for the future of some of the key players on this team. And joining me today in this discussion is a good friend of mine, Ryan Walsh. He is the sports director, morning show producer, and play-by-play broadcaster at WJOB 1230 AM, 104.7 FM in Hammond, Indiana, and he's also an avid Cubs fan. So I'm going to bring in Ryan now. Ryan, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. How have you been?
Been great, Will. I'm thankful that you have me out on this podcast. It's good to talk with you. We haven't talked in a little bit of time. I know that we've just been processing all the things that are going on. It's been a lot of speculation, and now we're getting to the point where sports are back. So it's exciting times to be here in America.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of months, especially with sports, especially for guys like me and you. I know you're always looking forward to baseball every season. I mean, even with you broadcasting games, you're hoping that stuff comes back, soon if possible. So I can imagine it's been rough for you, just like it's been rough for me not having sports. But it feels good to, even on this podcast, I've been talking about virtual reality, sports and competitions and things like that. This podcast has been all over the place the last couple of months because just trying to find some other unique topics to talk about while waiting to get into talking about sports again. So we're finally getting to that point, and I'm very excited about that. So let's get into this. So first off, a couple of quick notes for anyone out there that doesn't know exactly all the details, or what I would say are probably the most unique details about this shortened season, this, as I call, altered season. It's a 60-game schedule, and teams, not all the teams will be facing each other this year either. It's since the schedule is so shortened up, and in terms of trying to battle for playoff positioning and whatnot, the Cubs, for example, will only play National League and American League Central opponents. So it's going to be some familiar faces throughout the season, but I'm always especially down for a couple series for Cubs and White Sox as well. Another key note is the universal DH has been implemented for this season, and in extra innings, they will start with a runner on second base, in hopes of getting these games done as quickly as possible, even if they do go into extra innings. Some of those things could be debated on farther, but in terms of it being a 60-game season and everything I just mentioned with some of these details and facing off just against NL and AL opponents, just the divisions playing against each other. What are your thoughts, Ryan, on this altered season and the fact that they're trying to play through COVID-19?
As you were, I was frustrated how long it took for a deal to get done. The owners and players, it was very heated. Out of all the professional sports, it took the longest to the process and to get through for having a season. I see both sides of the spectrum on why it took so long. As players and owners, they both have big things that they had to check the boxes for. These players are probably the highest paid players out of all of the professional sports. Major League Baseball, there's 162 games in a regular season. There's health issues for the players. They're the ones on the field. They're the ones that had to be the ones traveling and all of this. So there's blame on both. Some people I know, we're all over the owners. Some people I know were all over the players. I think they both had a lot to do with the stalling. And I see a little bit more of the side of the players because they're the ones that have to deal with, going into quarantining and leaving their families for the season. Guys are right now discussing what's going to happen if they're expecting wife or fiance or girlfriend, what they're going to have to do to be able to go see them give birth to their child. I mean, there's all kinds of health issues that I see the players are the ones that you know, if a front office person or an owner or somebody in management gets the COVID-19, it's not going to have a biggest effect as if a star player does. So I lean a little bit more towards the player side, but I can understand frustration on both sides. But I'm happy that there's going to be a season. It's better than nothing. 60 is better than nothing. That's how I feel.
You know, as I've said on a couple of my previous podcasts, like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I did one with a friend talking about the return of the NHL and how their format's going to be. And, you know, it's obviously not a normal thing the way this is all happening. And I'm sure everybody would argue that they'd rather have everything normal, 162 games, or have the playoffs done on time and everything like that. But, you know, we live in a time where we can't have normal. So the fact that they're able to, that they were, despite a lot of hurt feelings, you know, come together and form some kind of a season. I think that's important. And that's actually a very good thing and something to be excited about. Obviously there are some players that have actually opted out. I know one of the biggest names recently was Buster Posey. I believe his family, they adopted two twins. So two baby twins. So that's another thing. Mike Trout is worried about playing. He voiced his opinions on it because his wife's pregnant. So you're talking, you know, Mike Trout, arguably the face of baseball, you know, coming out and saying that, but they're going to get rolling with it and they're going to do what they can to keep it going. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out, but yes, like you said, I think it's good that we have something. So, and I'm just curious too, what your thoughts are. Do you like the idea of, you know, trying out this universal DH throughout the whole league and maybe, and then trying out like having a runner on second base to start extra innings? You know, I know these have been things that have been floated around as rule changes for a while to, you know, change the game or quicken the pace of the game, especially with a runner on second base. I'm actually kind of excited that they're using this altered season to kind of alter the rules and try out some things that could maybe affect the game in the future if they decide to stick with these things or not to stick with these things. Do you know, what are your thoughts on the fact that they're trying to implement a couple of different rule changes for this altered season?
Well, first off, the DH has been an issue that's gone back to the 1980s. You know, a couple of teams in the NL wanted to get the DL or get the DH for the NL, and it didn't work out. And there's never been a meeting since that was, I think, early 80s, late 70s, when then there were a couple of NL teams that wanted to get the DH into the NL. I think this 60-game set is perfect for the timing to try out the DH because it's gotten louder and louder with NL executives and fans of the game. You know, you want to see a guy like Edward Encarnacion from the White Sox. You know, he's a DH. You got a couple other guys like Schwarber, who's maybe a less than great outfielder, could be used as the DH. Tino Martinez, for all those years at the Yankees, he was a DH. You're looking at Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's a guy that looks like a DH. It could level the playing field for NL teams getting those types of players that would sign with an AL team and boost an AL team. So I think it's a good time to experiment with the DH for both leagues to see how it changes. If it speeds the game up, you know, it takes the bat out of somebody that's, you know, 148 batting average, or, you know, Madison Bumgarner is the exception for hitters, for pitchers that are hitters that aren't great. He's been pretty solid, but it's around a 200 average. When you can get a DH that's a power guy, 25, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs possibly, I think it adds a good element to the game, and it could level the playing field in the World Series. We've seen a lot of American League champions, and for all these years we've seen the American League win the All-Star game. I think the time is right in this setting. As you mentioned, not normal. We're not going to get normal for a while, or what we think is normal. The runner on second base is an interesting thing for me because games are so long that with the advertising and things like that, they want to speed the game up. But with all these bullpen changes and things like that, a minimum of three batters now, that rule, I'm really eager to see how this works out if it does shorten games, because that's the thing, attention span, and you're seeing bullpens burned out, and only maybe 4 to 6 teams across the 30 teams in the league have a great bullpen, you know, from setup to holder and then the closer. So we're seeing bullpens gassed, and I think that'll maybe lighten that load a little bit on bullpens.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was thinking more of the perspective of just, you know, if you're a fan, especially, you know, it's one thing to watch on TV because you could do other things and have the TV on in the background. But if you're a fan at the game, you know, as much as it's easy for me to say, oh, you know, extra baseball, a couple extra innings, that'd be cool. You know, it's a memorable game then and everything. Hopefully, obviously, your team wins, in this case, the Cubs. But you make a really good point, because what it even affects even more importantly, you could argue, is, yeah, these teams themselves, the bullpen, you know, they go through. I mean, I remember the good old days with Joe Maddon. You know, Joe Maddon would go through half the bullpen before you got to the eighth or ninth inning. And then if it was an extra inning game, you're like, uh-oh, you know, how many guys we got left in the bullpen? So, you know, that is another issue that could potentially be solved or lightened on. And I just think entertainment value too, whether it's players or fans, like just the fact that you might get a little bit more scoring even in the extra innings if both teams score and then it goes another inning or whatever. It just, I think that would be, it's another element that even if you just try it for this season, try it out, you know, the league will collect the data, do the numbers and everything, at least experiment and that way you have these facts, you know, and these stats going forward to determine what you may do in future years, especially when, you know, when eventually things get a little bit more back to normal. So, but some good points there to start shifting it towards the Cubs. I know this is again an altered season. It's going to be a little bit different. It was already going to be challenging for the Cubs this year. New management, you know, the division has always been difficult with the Reds starting to creep up behind the Cubs, and obviously the Brewers and the Cardinals have been playing pretty well and have been really competitive up there. I'm curious what your expectations were for the Cubs prior, before COVID-19. You know, we already knew that David Ross was the manager. We knew just what we were getting into in terms of the other teams in the division. But before everything in the world changed, what were your initial expectations for the Cubs?
I think this is a year that, with a lot of stuff going on, a lot of talk off the field about upcoming contracts and things like this, you know, Baez and Bryant, I think there was a lot of distractions in spring training and, you know, trying to figure out what those two are going to get. You know, after 2021, you have a lot of question marks with Almora, Schwarber, Rizzo. His contract ends in 2021. If Lester gets to his vesting option for innings, he'll be a free agent after 2021. I think this was a year they needed a change from Joe Maddon. You know, he was great with taking the pressure off the team with the silly stuff and having fun and relaxed culture of winning that title. But after winning that title, you know, the pressure really amped up, and they weren't able to sustain that driven focus that they had the last couple of years. The infield and outfield, there are a lot of mental mistakes. They weren't coming to the game prepared, it seemed like, as they had been in 2015 and 2016 and 2017. First couple innings last year, 2018, it just seemed like they're getting a lot of early runs. I think with David Ross, I think it was a fresh breath of air for these core players. And I think with, like you mentioned, the Reds, I think this was back then, before this COVID-19 rocked our world, rocked our country. I think that the Reds were still the team, and I think it's that way now. I think the Cubs are a serious contender for a wild card. I don't know if that'll work out, because their pitching scares me, starting wise and bullpen wise. Their hitting is going to come through, but is it going to be enough? Because the bullpen is shaky, and with John Lester, you know, he's been unbelievable. He's one of the top pitchers of all time in postseason history. We've seen that in 2015 and 2016 with the Red Sox before he came to the Cubs. He's been great, but he's on the back nine. He's, you know, you could say he's probably on the back three of his career. Don't know what he's going to give you at his age. Yu Darvish, he just scared the heck out of me. You know, one inning, like we saw the other night against the White Sox, one inning like that could be too much for the bats. And if he does that on a regular basis, it seems like he has an inning where he has the yips or he gives up a couple hits and he's fighting himself mentally. I like Hendricks. I really do. He's worn on me. You know, early on in his career, he bored me because he doesn't get 90 plus. But he mixes his stuff up. He showed AL Rookie of the Year candidate Luis Robert what's up, striking him out on Sunday. That was pretty nice. I think he's going to be consistent. Tyler Chatwood's going to be asked to do a lot. And what we've seen of Tyler Chatwood, his first couple years with the Cubs, has been all over the place. With Lester aging and Darvish, you know, having these mental hiccups, you're asking a lot out of Tyler Chatwood. And who knows what that could be, because he walks a lot of guys. He's got some really nasty stuff, but his walk rate is high, and that's got him into trouble. And now he could possibly be the three starter with Lester aging. So the rotation and Jose Quintana, you know, he's got the thumb injury from washing his dishes. Who knows when he's going to return? So the starting pitching has me really worried.
You know, I want to get your thoughts on my take here. I personally think when it comes to Kyle Hendricks, I personally think that the Cubs' success this year and potentially maybe even going forward the next couple of seasons is kind of vital to Hendricks' success. Meaning, can he, you know, he's 30 years old now, so he's right there in his prime. He's, you know, been pretty solid. I was looking at his stats earlier today. He has yet to have a losing record. You know, he's, and I know he hasn't really been a, you know, a number one, number two guy, you know, performance wise or even put at that level, because he's always pitched underneath, you know, Jake Arrieta, you know, John Lester and whatnot. But however, it's beginning to look like he might be one of the more reliable guys compared to what you get with Quintana. You know, you, Darvish, I was actually going to ask you about that. You beat me to the question, which is perfect, though, because, you know, you, Darvish, I absolutely have no faith in him, because I know it's an exhibition game the other night, and I know, again, with everyone's trying to refocus and get back into form after everything that's happened the last 6 months. However, you got to – at some point, when do you throw in the towel with him? I know they're not going to just cut him or whatever, but what I'm saying is, it's when do you stop – thinking that, oh, maybe he's going to be that guy? I mean, I would almost trust the aging John Lester more than I would trust you, Darvish. And again, like I said, I feel like the only guy I could trust is Hendricks. And for that fifth guy, whether it's Tyler Chatwood or whoever else they might bring up into that position, you're absolutely right. There, it's a question mark. Tyler Chatwood, if anything, I would argue he was probably better coming out of the bullpen last year. He was a little bit more relaxed, more controlled, was more reliable. He made an impact, you know, with coming out there on the mound in the middle of a game rather than starting a game. So I don't know what your thought. I don't know if you know, agree or disagree with me on this. I'm actually going to ask you that because I'm curious what you think. But I'm like you. I'm losing faith with this rotation, even the bullpen, because there's so many new faces and so much, you know, so many questions that are not answered yet with them. But in my opinion, my vote would be I'm looking for Hendricks to step up and maybe be that, you know, kind of number one guy or that rock solid guy to lean on in that rotation going forward. Curious what your thoughts are.
I absolutely agree with it being Hendricks is the guy. And I'll say this, I Lester, if the Cubs are anywhere competitive down the stretch, John Lester is the guy that he rises to the occasion. He's got that in him. He's got that it fact. He has it, you know, like the thing they always talk about, where if you need somebody with games on the line, you know, wild card, this or that, big moment, teams on a losing streak, or if they're rolling, you can trust on John Lester. And I think that's going to be the case this year. Hendricks, no doubt about it. I think we're going to see a good year from him, regardless of how the Cubs do overall. I think he's going to put he's looked good. Lester, I think if he seems like he's always, since he's been with the Cubs, kind of gotten off to a little bit of a slower start than he gets it going. If the Cubs are competitive, wild card or division competitive for the playoffs, I think we'll see John Lester finish the season in really good form. I have I've never been a big Yu Darvish fan since he's come to the Rangers and then over to the Dodgers. And you can say what you want about the 2017 World Series with the Astros, with them, you know, now comes out that they've been cheating and doing all these things, stealing signs. He just doesn't look like a guy that can handle the ball in a big postseason moment. And I put him below Chatwood, and I even put him below Quintana in my level of trust, because Chatwood could have that inning where, you know, he walks a couple guys, but he'll still only get one run. Quintana is a guy that been around 500 his whole career. He could have that two or three run inning, and he could come back out and give you 7 or 8 innings. Darvish is averaging, I think, four and a third or 4 2/3 innings overall in his abbreviated 2 seasons with the Cubs, because he missed most of his first season with the Cubs. So, I mean, he's a guy that's going to burn the bullpen. I mean, the game is changing towards more bullpen use, but Darvish scares me in the fact of his mental state and how much he'll tax the bullpen if he gets roughed up. Or I shouldn't say if, it's when he gets roughed up. I don't like this contract. I was not big on them signing him. I hope that he could have a salvageable season, decent, that they could find a new home for him after this year. I don't like Darvish in the Cubs uniform. I don't. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he has a great season, but I don't have any faith in him. I don't. Out of 10, I'd give him two or three for the faith I have him for going out there pitching and winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, a lot of people feel like that, because, I mean, you make a good point. Like, he could. How do you expect him to be in a big moment in a World Series game or a postseason game, yet when it's a random, the 30th game of the season in, say, you know, April or May, and it's just a regular game, and he's out there for a second or third start of the year, and he's imploding already. You know, he's already in the first inning, he gives up 4 runs because he gives up, you know, a homer or two, walks a couple of guys. I mean, he implodes so fast sometimes. But, you know, shifting focus to the bullpen, it's amazing to just see the turnaround that's happened with the bullpen for years. I know guys come and go, you know, often. It's not a new shocking thing, but there's now essentially nobody left from the World Series team, or even the couple of playoff teams that we had a couple, you know, for those couple of seasons. Even after, the most notable name you got on there, obviously, is Craig Kimbrel, who's another guy that, you know, you go all in for him, and so far he's been a disappointment in return. But, you know, Kyle Ryan, Rowan Wick, Brad Week, Jeremy Jeffries, the new guy they signed in free agency, those are looking like are potentially your top bullpen starters out there. Curious your thoughts on the bullpen, knowing that they're probably going to have to be used a lot this year because A, the game's changing, and B, you can't really trust the Cubs rotation to really go deep in a game.
I think if this team is not competitive from the midway point by the August 31st deadline, I think Kimbrel is a name you can see moved. You know, he was okay at times last year for the Cubs. Take him back a year before with the Red Sox when they won the World Series. He wasn't even closing games at the end of that postseason run for the Red Sox. So he's a question mark. You know, give him a little bit of a pass last year because he didn't get signed until the middle of the year after the MLB draft. So he came in simulated in training. There's no comparing that to an actual game. So I give him a little bit of a break, more than people gave him last year, for his some issues that he had. You know, his walk rate has been up the last 2-3 years, but, you know, more times out than not, Kimbrel will be reliable. A name I like is the lefty Kyle Ryan. He proved his worth last year in some big situations for the Cubs. Lefty, you know, he was like 6th, 7th inning type. I think maybe see him in the 7th or 8th inning. Another one that stepped up here is a name that Cubs fans should watch out for, Ryan Tepera. He's a name that he had a pretty good outing the other night against the White Sox in relief. Week and Wick, they're iffy to me. You lose Pedro Strop to the Reds, to a great Reds team. And Strope, you know, Strope, he's a fan, you know, the goofy hat, you know, tilted to the side. He was reliable. He was a reliable pitcher. He's a big loss, and he mentored a lot of the young pitchers with his, he has a great slider. When that thing is on, it's filthy. And when it's off, you know, he was very short out there on the mound, but he was reliable. And to make it even worse, he goes to the Reds. So he's still in the division. Jeremy Jeffers, they picked him up from the Brewers. He's on a 1-year contract. He's had some injuries over his career. It's kind of an unknown what you'll get out of that. You know, that's been the story for the Cubs for many, many years. Is they like, it was before Theo and Jed took over the front office. The Cubs would always take risks on guys that had some previous injuries and things like that on the cheap. Kind of seen that because of what the Cubs have salary wise available. They're over the cap again. Bullpen, there's going to be some good outings, and I think they're going to see some bad outings. There's not a dominant setup man or duo, but Kimbrough will probably have a good season.
Yeah, and again, when you just look at, you know, we know specifically that the same teams are going to play. You look at these offenses that they're going to have to face with the Reds. I mean, them even taking Castellanos from us. Oh man, that's, you know, that's already a team that's got some offense. You know, the Brewers, you know, they've made some changes, but they're, I would say are still pretty competitive. We know St. Louis got a dangerous offense too. You look at when they have to go play the AL Central, the Twins, who were the home run kings last year, even the White Sox are going to give you some fight this year with offense with their bats. So it's going to be, I think it is going to be kind of a rough season if both the rotation and the bullpen can't get it together, because they're going to be facing off against some pretty good bats here in both divisions of teams that they're going to play against. But I want to backtrack were you going to say something?
I want to say something about Castellanos. You know, people always say, you know, hindsight is 20/20, because you look back at what you could have done this and could have done that. If the DH sticks, it's really going to hurt the Cubs with losing Castellanos, because that's a bat. Wrigley and Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, those are two of the hitter-friendliest parks. He showed what he could do with his bat down the stretch of the Cubs last year while the team was going in a different direction. He was trending up, and he got a big contract with the Reds. That the DH, you know, he's a guy that could fit into the outfield sometimes, and then also the DH. So Castellanos is going to – he's going to make the Cubs pay this year. I think that's a guarantee.
Well, and I think he, you know, it's one thing that he was impressive with the home runs and whatnot, you know, because he had that power in his bat last year. However, he was able to do things that I felt like the Cubs lineup was missing, which was he was a consistent hitter. He was able to drive in runs when they put him at the top of the order to lead. You know, he let off once in a while. It worked out. Like, I felt like he cured one of the issues that the Cubs have always had since losing Dexter Fowler. That, and I know Fowler really hasn't been the same though after 2016, but the Cubs have gone through how many people and how many changes for that leadoff hitter, or just to have a guy like him that, okay, great, you're going to get Baez on base, you're going to get Bryant on base, you're going to get Rizzo on base, but who's going to drive those guys home? Because we know Kyle Schwarber could send the ball to the bleachers, but put a runner on second and third for him, unless he sends it to the bleachers, it seems like he's going to fly out or something like that. So I feel like Castellanos is a huge – it was disappointing for them not to sign him back, because he not only already worked so well, and like you said, hitter-friendly parks, but again, he cured a huge problem that the Cubs have had for arguably over three seasons now. But I wanted to backtrack to something – real quick, when we were talking a little bit about the transition from Joe Maddon to David Ross, I'm wondering, two-part question. A, do you like the signing of David Ross, or do you think somebody else should have been manager? And B, now that Ross is for sure the manager, what do you like about him? What do you think he's going to bring to the table that might be beneficial from that laid-back style that Joe Maddon had?
Well, I do like the hiring. I had two people that I thought should have been the A and B options. I like Joe Girardi as a manager, and I like David Ross as well. David Ross, I think a catcher, you know, Joe Girardi's a former catcher. You know, Joe Torre was a catcher when he played, you know, a Yankees manager. Ross, you see a lot as a catcher, so I think that they have valuable knowledge from that experience. He knows a lot of these guys, being that he just retired after the 2016 season, so, and he was in a limited role in the front office, so he's been accessible to these guys that they thought of him as a mentor, but they thought he was tough on them, not to the point of harassment, but, you know, to do better, to not let up and things like that. Where Joe, you know, they won the title, and like I said, it was great. They're 108 years, there's everywhere they went, they were harassed for not winning the title. Every Cubs team had that pressure on them that, you know, they were not going to be the ones that they would break the curse. So he took away with some distractions and things like that, and he kept it lighthearted after they got the title. And I think guys, core players, they wanted to be pushed. They still wanted to be pushed. And you saw what the Cubs could do. You know, Brian and Rizzo both had 100-plus RBIs in 2016, and Addison Russell was right there. He had 90-something. And you thought, okay, wow, this is something that this is going to be a regular occurrence. And that was the peak for a lot of these core guys because, you know, they weren't being pushed as much anymore. They won the title, and, you know, the foot came off the gas. I think Ross is going to bring some more fire to this, back to this organization. And they're in kind of a in-between mode right now, which is never a good thing because of a lot of contracts, because the team hasn't been able to draft and develop good pitching. So they've had to go get Darvish. They had to get Lester. They were looking for some leadership. You know, they paid a lot for the couple seasons that Lackey was there. They overpaid for Chatwood. So when you start doing that, you know, it's going to come to crunch time for paying the stars that are getting out of the rookie contract. So he comes in a tough time, but I think it was a needed hire for somebody that knows a lot of these guys from playing with them, what gets them going. He saw it on traveling with them on the road and sharing a hotel room at times, I'm sure, and bus rides and plane trips. He's probably had planned. I think this was probably planned for a couple of years in advance with Theo and Jed. So I think he's got a pretty good mold of what he wants to do and accomplish and where he wants to put these guys that he's been with for a couple of years.
Yeah, I do agree with that. That speculation that David Ross, he was going to be the eventual replacement for Joe Maddon. And I do believe in that. You know, they kept him in the front office, you know, those couple of years after he retired. It kind of made sense. I mean, heck, even Joe Maddon kind of acknowledged that he knew the, you know, he was near the end of the rope last season. So I do like the change, as much as I appreciate Joe Maddon too. I mean, he's always going to be legendary for the personality, for not only just winning the World Series, but just being a very well-respected coach in terms of being a player's guy. And, you know, he did have a unique way of handling, you know, the ups and downs of a season, you know, everything you go through. You made a good point of that earlier, but at the end, at some point, the fun and the relaxing and the laid back style has to go away because you need to be competitive. There's, you know, a bunch of other teams that want to win that are just as hungry as you were in 2015 and in 2016. So I agree. I think the culture shift was needed, and I think it's going to be a good one. You know, I don't think Ross is going to come in here and act like a dictator, but I do think it's great that he even acknowledged that, like, his first press conference, you know, the Grandpa Rossi type feel that everyone got for me or is worried it's going to come back isn't going to come back. You know, he even said a couple weeks ago when he was asked about the fact that, you know, what his thoughts were on the fact that the MLB was returning and this altered season was going to happen. And he said, if there's a trophy, I want it. So I love that mentality, even for a 60-game season and things being different. And even though the Cubs, like you said, they're kind of in the middle right now, where they're not like rebuilding, but they're not necessarily at their strongest in their contention period like they were a couple of years ago. But, you know, they got enough talent there that in a way anything could happen this year, even though I think there's more concerns that are going to make it a not so good season. But, you know, I think that's a good point you make. It was time for a culture change from the top with the leadership. So one more personnel question for you here, and then I do want to, when we finish off here, we'll we'll touch on the contract issues that the team's having. But the one personnel issue in terms of the infield and even, I guess, you know, this does affect the lineup too, obviously, for the batting order. But one thing that – I don't even think this has been talked about enough since, you know, the return to baseball because of COVID and everything. But, you know, the second baseman job was kind of up for grabs between, you know, guys like maybe David Bote, Daniel Descalzo, Jason Kipnis, who was, I guess you could say, and you can't see me right now, but this is my eyes rolling moment of the big key free agent signing of Jason Kipnis. Or even youngster Nico Hoerner. Those were some of the names floated around for competing for the second base job. I'm thinking it's going to go to Kipnis because they're going to do the typical, hey, we signed this guy and he was one of our few free agents and he's a veteran, so we're going to throw him in there because, you know, Bote and Descalzo seem to be more like utility guys and float around at this point. And Hoerner, maybe we see some of him, but still kind of at that prospect level. I don't know if he's going to be a full-timer just yet with this team, but curious to get your thoughts on who do you think gets that second baseman job?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Kipnis and Hoerner. He got some exposure last year. They were really injury plagued last year down the stretch. You know, Russell was banged up and he's out of the picture now. And Baez had the injuries down the stretch. So Nico Hoerner was called upon because he played well in the minors for them. He was just drafted a couple seasons ago. I think with Kipnis, they took a, you know, he's a, you know, kind of a low risk. He's only making, I think, $1 million with and a little bit of incentives, a little bit over $1 million with this season. You know, he's a guy that's been in the all-star game. You know, he's been in the playoffs with the Indians. You know, Cubs saw him in the World Series. He had a couple big games, including, I think he had a 3-run bomb in game 4 at Wrigley Field in the 2016 World Series. So he's come through in some big moments. He hit the home run to get things going against the White Sox the other night in exhibition. I think that he's going to mentor Nico at second base. I think the Cubs see Nico at second base going forward. And so I think he'll probably get more games, but I do think that he's not going to get all the games. And if Kipnis has got a good bat, so if he can – he's decent with the arm. That's why he's a second baseman. I think if his bat stays warm, he'll have playing time. But if the bat doesn't perform, it's a 1-year contract. You'll at least give Hoerner some leadership and show him, you know, kind of the ropes for second base.
Yeah, and if you were to go back and look through Kipnis' stats the last couple of years, he's still put up some decent numbers, some pretty I would say still pretty impressive numbers given his age and whatnot, and even that Indians team that's kind of also kind of trended downward since, you know, they're, you know, facing off with us in the World Series. But before finishing off the podcast, Ryan, I did want to get your thoughts on this, the contract situation with some of these guys. And this is perhaps the question I've looked forward the most to asking you, because one thing that's always stood out to me when, you know, me and you have talked about, you know, the Cubs over the last couple of years, you know, two summers ago, back in 2018, when I was interning at WJOB, we were having a conversation about the Cubs and just how they're going to manage, you know, all these good players down the road. And if my memory serves me right, I remember you saying something about how you'd rather see the Cubs look to keep and re-sign guys like Bryant and Baez over Rizzo. Like, you would rather have seen him get traded or something over time rather than get that next big contract. You know, because obviously he's getting older. You're seeing his production is starting to slow down a bit, and you get these persistent back issues that he's already having a problem with, and we're not even in the actual season yet. I'm just wondering, do you still kind of stand by this thought, or hopefully I'm remembering it correctly, but just wondering what your thoughts are in terms of where the Cubs go going forward in terms of roster management with Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, heck, even I guess guys like Wilson Contreras too, where you mentioned Al Moore, some of these other guys. Like, who do you think the Cubs need to keep in order to have success and contend going forward?
Well, I think big part of what I said a couple years ago, and you're right, you have good memory about Rizzo and Baez and Brian, it's about age. You know, Rizzo's the oldest one of the bunch, so I mean, he's not gonna be, you know, making. I think he's already 30 or 31 years old, so I hope he, when he's a free agent, he'll be 32 or 33 years old. after you're 30, 31 years old in the MLB, and you're at the point for getting a big contract, it just doesn't really happen. He's had some back injuries and things like that. I just want to see, you know, it's going to happen with Baez. They're going to pay Baez. Baez is a guy that every, you know, he's a gamer, game in, game out. You know, he's going to give you, he's worth the price of admission. And I think the same thing with Bryant, you know, he's had a couple of issues with injuries. You know, he got hit in the head. You know, he wasn't himself so much after he got hit, had playing against the Rockies, and he had this shoulder injury, but he returned the form and was good. You know, those two are the two that you saw these guys that, you know, Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, Schwarber, they were part of this 2016 World Series. And if you're serious about wanting to win another World Series championship, you know, these three or four guys are the guys that really got you there. I mean, Schwarber had a big 2015 and then he got injured 2016, but we saw what he did in the World Series after being off for 6 months. It was incredible. 7-16 in the World Series after 6 months. And that was just from a pitching machine, how he got himself ready. Bryant, rookie of the year, MVP, multiple home run games. I want to see guys, if you give up on those guys, they brought so much joy to the fan base for the World Series. And it would hurt inside to see Baez and Bryant and Rizzo go and not get extended because of how much they did for the franchise in their couple of years that they've been with the franchise. So those are the three. I think Baez is the most likely to get that long-term extension. Bryant uses Boris, so he's not a guarantee for getting an extension. And Rizzo, with his age, who knows? His agent already tried, you know, I think after 2018 or before this season even, for getting an extension, the Cubs said no, not at this point. There's some big factors that are going to hinder the Cubs' ability to lock down a couple of these core guys. You overpaid on Darvish. You overpaid on Hayward. Kimbrel is a big contract. He's got this year and next year, $16 million each season. You got these younger guys that are in their arbitration years. Contreras is going to get paid more in 21 and further. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Happ and Almora. Schwarber, I think, benefits here with an extension if the DH sticks. If the DH doesn't stick, then I think the Cubs would—they really like Schwarber. Theo loves Schwarber and has scoffed at the idea of trading him. And I think if the DH sticks, you could see a bigger contract coming in for Schwarber to stay in Wrigleyville. But the players I would worry about getting extended, and it's unfortunate in my opinion, with the way that they've overpaid on free agents because they can't develop pitching. In 8 years, they've done a lousy job at the front office of evaluating and drafting pitching. You just would hate to see Brizzo broken up, whether it's one or two of them both gone in a couple of years. It would kind of, in a way, wipe away most or all of the 2016 memories from them if they go to another team.
Yeah, and you make a good point. Again, there's always a special place for these guys in your heart as a fan, because of any team or any sport, whatever, when they win a championship, automatic legendary status, at least in that town. You know, maybe they're not the best. They don't go down as the best player ever to play the game or one of the best to play at their position. I mean, you can argue that with Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, I think, but you know, just about anybody from that 2016 team is going to be remembered as a legend in the city of Chicago because of the fact that they broke the curse and they won a World Series. And there's just so much frustration because you would have thought that, oh, you know, the Cubs are built to contend for many years after. And I don't think they're necessarily, I wouldn't hit the panic button thinking they're going to hit the, you know, the rebuilding button just yet. But you know, yeah, you lose a couple of these guys, then you're not contending, and then you're kind of back where you were, you know, before Theo and everybody else came in the town to start fixing things and build this thing like they did. So, it will be interesting to see what happens. It's going to suck. Unfortunately, somebody's going to go because they just can't afford to pay everybody these, you know, these super contracts. So somebody's going to go, but I do think it needs to be somebody that maybe isn't going to be around the longest, or maybe somebody that's going to be hampered by injuries, or, and it kind of sounds like I'm alluding to Rizzo, which I kind of am. I'd much rather see Bryant and Baez stay, and maybe even Schwarber if they can get him a decent deal if the DH stays. But yeah, it's all kind of up in the air. So lastly, Ryan, do the Cubs make the playoffs? Yes or no?
I'll go out on this. I'll say that the Cubs get to the wild card game and they'll lose in the wild card game, the play-in game for the wild card. I think they got to put the potential. I think the hitting is there. The shortened season benefits them because of their shoddy starting pitching. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of these guys and could go into a longer funk. I think they'll get a wild card spot and they'll lose it. They won't fully make the playoffs, but I think they'll be in the wild card game.
All right. And I'm going to say no, that they don't make the playoffs. I think just given everything we said about in terms of both the rotation and the bullpen, I just don't think I hardly don't trust anybody on that mound, especially again, like I said, you got both the AL and NL Central. A lot of these teams have some good hitters, some good offense. I'm just not convinced that you're going to get a lot of, you know, six or seven inning performances from, you know, Lester or Hendricks or, you know, Darvish for that matter, especially. And then, and who knows if that bullpen's going to implode or anything like that. So I think we're actually going to see the good part of this season is going to be some good offense. Like, I think the bats are going to open up this year. You're going to get some really good offense with Bryant and Baez and whatnot. I think that's what's going to keep them around playoff contention. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be like what's happened in the past. It's going to be the pitching staff that kind of ruins it for them. So
I want to say take my comment back about the make of the playoffs. I want to make it conditional because there's one big question right now for the team. It's Rizzo's back. So if Rizzo is back, you know, they got to bring in somebody to play first base semi-often. No shot. And if without Rizzo, with his drive, with his heart and his passion, they don't have him, they won't come even close. So I you know, we've talked earlier about relying a lot on Hendricks carrying the pitching. I think if Rizzo's out of the lineup semi often, or if he misses the season, as it's right now a question mark for him getting ready for Friday. I think if Rizzo isn't in there, I think that takes away big. That's my big question mark. If Rizzo's in there, I like them for a possible wild card spot. Without Rizzo, no.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think if Rizzo ends up missing, you know, 10 games or more this year, I think they're in trouble too. Because especially in this situation, you need all your key players, whether they're leaders or your top performers. Everybody's got to be all hands on deck and healthy and out there doing their thing for this situation to end up boding well for the team. So we'll see what happens. It'll definitely be interesting. I know we'll probably stay in touch, and I mean, I'd even have you on again down the road if you want. This was a fun discussion. I thank you for taking the time to come on.
I appreciate your time, Will. Hopefully you and all your family members are all safe and healthy during this COVID-19, and I'm sure that we'll be getting together soon. Once the season gets going, we'll go out and have a nice cold drink and some good wings somewhere.
Yes, that would be nice, definitely. And yes, I hope you and your family and friends are all safe through all this craziness as well. So, all right, thanks again, and we'll stay in touch.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.